In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The dominion mandate is inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You carry God's image. Discover who you are and shake off that ignorance.
I confer the blessing on your life today. I confer your mighty hand of blessing upon their lives.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogbeni.
The power of God is going to be, it's going to come in here with very high intensity when we discuss that. Well, this morning, we have a short time to, before we close, I'm going to just share one or two things. You can see, that's my notebook. God talks to you while you fly. And He talks to you when you're in the toilet. He talks to you when you're in the bedroom. Don't miss those moments. Oh. Yes, yes, yes. You know, we just came back from North Africa. Do you have the map of Africa? Yes, project it, let them see. And I love those environments that are around the Garden of Eden. It blesses me every time I'm there. Do you have the one that Africa and Middle East? Okay, beautiful. Okay, the only thing is that we don't get to see the full picture. But show the first one you showed, and I'll show them. Ending of the year, last year, I was at the tip here. Now you can see how Africa ended. Africa actually ended with a tail. If you go to your map and Google, you see some map that attach that tail. Some remove it. There's a tail at the tip of Africa. It's not that smooth the way it is. You know, that tail is a piece of land that moved into the ocean. On this side, Atlantic Ocean. On the other side, Indian Ocean. So we drove to the end of it, 2 hours drive on it. You get to the end, that's where Africa ends. And it's like this. So we decided to touch the water. If you fall from there, you are dead because you're falling straight into the ocean. Now, if you're in Lagos and we describe it, they don't get it because Lagos, the land and the sea are flat. You just walk to the land, you touch water. But at the tip of Africa is a very high mountain. South Africa is well fortified. They can't have water problem, wave. They can't. Because no matter how high the wave is, it will hit the mountain and go back. So, South Africa, if this is the water, the sea, South Africa starts here. It's very high. Maybe like, okay, let me tell you. We decided to get to the water. It took us 1 hour, 30 minutes to climb down to where we got to the water and to come back. I mean, you are standing at the tip of the water. That's water. To now get down there, 1 hour, 30 minutes and come back. So 45 minutes going, 45 coming. That's how high. Even Obudukatu Ranch that is into the sky, it doesn't take me that much to get to the valley. I have done it 2 times. I take my family there. So, and those things are amazing. They're amazing. Cape Town, if you Google it now, you will see, is the most beautiful city in the world. I'm going to tell you 5 things, so I'm already telling you the first one. And somebody is wondering, when is he going to start preaching? I've started. It's the most beautiful city in the world. It has 3 wonders of the world in one city. And then this tip that I'm talking about is where 2 oceans meet. It's very rare. the Indian and the Atlantic Ocean. So you have a lot of waves and turbulence there. And so we just came back from another part of Africa. Having been to the tip of the Cape, we now went to the uppermost part of Africa, is Tunisia. We went to Morocco and Tunisia. You can see Morocco there, then Algeria, then that yellow part is Tunisia. So really, the uppermost part of Africa, you see, sometimes when you think about North Africa, you think about Egypt. There are seven countries that make up North Africa. You have Egypt, there are Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Western Sahara, Northern Sudan. It's not Egypt. Egypt is on this end, the uppermost part. And Africa has a horn like this. It has a horn. At the other place, it has a tail. That horn is the capital of Tunisia, called Tunis. So we ask them, what's the meaning of the name Tunis or Tunisia? They say it means key. That is the key of Africa. And we finished the conference towards the weekend. They now took us. Beautiful. You can see, that's the uppermost part of Africa. This place is higher than here. Because we first went from Lagos to here. You might wonder why I'm showing you all this. I'll tell you in a few minutes. We first went from Lagos to here. Actually, the whole journey took me about 12 hours because there were about 3.5 hours waiting period between Morocco and... So, somewhere along the line, I was asking myself, are we still flying within one continent? 12 hours will get me to US. Why am I spending 12 hours going to Africa? This is the uppermost part of Africa. This top part is called Tunis. Tunis. Now you can see Atlantic Ocean is here, Indian Ocean is there, East Africa is bordered with Indian Ocean, Kenya and the rest of the, you and I, Lagos and the rest, Atlantic Ocean. There is another water that borders Africa, it's called the Mediterranean Sea. This water, on the other side of it is Israel, on the other side is Turkey, on top of it is Europe. For example, from where we are standing in Tunis, in the night, you look and you'll be seeing part of Italy, Spain. In the night, you'll be watching people in Europe. It's just this water that you cross and you are there. And you will see thousands of your brothers and sisters from different parts of Africa, black Africans, who have traveled. Nigerians are traveling through the Sahara Desert by road. They get to North Africa and they settle, looking for money to pay those that will ship them over to Europe. And then, of course, you also meet Arabs that are trying to. You can see at Morocco, the distance between Morocco and Spain is very short. Actually, they even said in the past there was a land connection, but water has cut it. So somebody could have taken his car and driven into Europe. But for some reason, there is a small cut there. So here is not a long journey at all. If you actually know how to swim very well and you can defeat the sharks, you can decide to try this one. But then look at Middle East. We have a land route. So look at Egypt. The children of Israel went to Israel. Look at the land of Palestine is here. Look at Israel is there. This is Egypt. They went to Israel. And all they needed to do is drive this because I have driven it. I've driven from Israel down to Egypt. We went to the desert of Sinai. Mount Sinai is not in Israel, it's in Egypt. Actually, a part of it, actually a part, is even in Arabia, it's within this Arabian desert. So I don't know who owns it, you know, that's where it is. But guess what? Instead of following this road, they went across this sea and then make their journey back here. Meanwhile, there was a short way to where they were going. So the two illustrations I've given you brings two messages to the point. Number one, become a global Christian. You can be locally placed, but be global in outlook. The world has changed. From your village, you can become the next big thing in the whole world because of the World Wide Web, because of the internet. So when I talk about going global, four elements comes in. Number one, God gave the church a global mission. If you will obey the Great Commission, which is a global mission, it's a global mandate, it will take you around the world. You know, here, I don't want to come and preach to you. This is like coming home. I have seen the world. Here, I would like to give you secrets. What have taken me 30 years to learn. I would like to find the most important secret. If it's only two sessions I have with you, I'd like to give you those ones that can change your life immediately, starting now. And then pray for you that it will start happening. Are you understanding? How can you be killing your own manufacturing engine? How can you be killing your own economy? Anybody that knows Bureau de Change will know that if you travel anywhere in the world, the money they make from the exchange rate that is official and what they do at the black market, even though their black market usually are made official too, is usually zero point something percent, maybe 0.5, 0.6, 0.3, and they make all the millions they make as profit. If you ever get one full difference between the official rate and the black market rate, that's $1 or 1 euro or one of any currency. That is economic boom for those in the money market. Yesterday, we wanted to buy something, import something from abroad, yesterday. So, they gave us 480, is the exchange rate for pounds. So, I called our people in the bank. I want to get bank rates. And they worked out a bank rate. 445. And they said, Pastor, this is just the asking price. You can now negotiate it down if you are ready. And I checked, already 35. And then there is CBN rate. We have four exchange rates in one country. I'm leading a delegation now to the Middle East, Israel, in October. And we have checked to see what is the exchange rate. 2-something. Where everybody is buying a 4-something. So do you know that government exchange is what a lot of people who are playing, you know where they are from. They go and buy it up at that and then come to the black market and they're selling. So you go, a businessman, you need 1 billion to bring it, you go to the bank. The bank will tell you they don't have the money. We can only give you 50 million. You go to the black market man, He tells you, if you want 100 billion, I can provide. And you need to see the kind of profit he's making all over the world. Is one digit that is the difference, maximum. Here, some people are making 200 and something. Some people are making 100 and something. And we're talking about dollars or pounds. So I get it for 280. I go and sell for 480. There's no other business to do. It's no other business. Because if you start that business with 1 million naira, in 1 year now, you'll become a billionaire. You'll become a billionaire. So that's where we are. That's where we are. The scarcity you see is man-made. It's not God-made. So that's why I'm talking to you. You have to become a global Christian. Don't be limited by the challenges in your locality. There is no more limit anywhere. No limit anywhere. You can be inside a village. The guy that makes my dresses, when I dress up this night, you will see some of the things he makes. This is an example, casual. I'm yet to meet him. It's Pastor Sarah that has met him once. We found him on the internet. And I have people around me in Lagos. They make their own. And some of what they make, I can't wear it. Not well finished. And I found this guy on the internet. And we decided to call him. Where are you? You need to come and measure me, do all that. He said, I'm not in Lagos. I'm in the village. I said, which village? He said, I live in my own father's house. He said, I can't afford. I came to Lagos. I couldn't afford the shops and all this. So I stay in my own father's house in the village. But I do my designs and put them on the internet. That's why you have my number there. So I said, problemo. How do I know that you won't escape with my money? He said, anyway, you don't need to pay for it. Just drop 20% and pick the design you want, and we'll bring the stuff to your doorstep. To your door. And so we tested him. 4 days, the finished product was in my door. At my door, and they were knocking, and one came out. The guy has people now in different cities who live in cities who get 10% cut for delivery. He doesn't move on. He will come to Akana and find 2 people. Anytime you deliver a product, you take 10% for what you did not do. So what he does is that he will take the thing, give the transporters. If you are far, like you are in Abuja, he will put it with the airlines and charge you that transport cost. They will bring it, the agent there will come and pick it and bring it to your house. And you pay. They deliver once you pay. Meanwhile, according to the Almighty God, read your Bible, colonization is just apprenticeship. The way individuals are raised, that's how nations are raised. God sees nations like people. When he wants to raise a nation, he takes that young nation and put it under a more experienced nation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, to nurture their greatness for some time. But his apprenticeship. So when he wanted to raise the nation of Israel, he has given birth to Abraham, brought Isaac, from Isaac, Esau and Jacob, and now the 12 patriarchs. They were just 70 people. When he saw that they were 70, he said, now what I need to get a nation is here. So he took them and moved them to Egypt and put them under the most powerful civilization of that time, which was the Egyptian civilization. So they lived there for 400 years. When they were coming out, This is colonization now. When they were coming out, there were about 3 million people. They have become a nation when they got independence. But please, project this thing for them. Let them see. God gave them a law. He said, never abhor an Egyptian. Never disrespect an Egyptian, for you were a foreigner in his land. These Jewish people. Amazingly, Israel has maintained diplomatic relationship with Egypt all these years. With all their enemies around in the Middle East, they maintain relationship with Egypt. They don't fight Egypt, except when they are the aggressors. Then they reply. Do you know why? In the God's own economy, Egypt was like their mentor. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. Take note of that instruction. Then you shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. Now, that's the difference between my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. After independence, relationship continues. Relationship continues. So, when you want something, the secret is called in the Bible meekness. Everyone say meekness.
Meekness.
Even if you are proud, pretend to be meek. You know, I'm telling you some things that some of you will not. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. There are 8 beatitudes. Some, if you do it, heaven is what you get. Like if you are poor in heart, you are broken and contrite, heaven. Blessed are those people. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you are pure in heart, the reward is you will see God. Practice it, you will see. That's one of the things working for me. If you have sincerity or purpose and you are pure in heart, Jesus will start appearing to you. The glory of God will become real to you. It's true. Read Psalm 24 and Psalm 15. He said, Lord, who shall ascend into your holy hill? Lord, who will ascend into your holy? And he describes the quality of such a man. One of them is a man that does not tell lie. A man that swear in his own heart. He doesn't lie to himself. A man that sweareth to his own heart, to his own heart, and changeth not. What he's talking about, people that have integrity inside, God brings them close. But when he came to meekness, he said, blessed are the meek, because they will go to heaven. Because what will be their own? We want something on earth. Calm down. When you calm down, you are meek. The powers that be will help you get that. Because they don't see you as a threat. They should not be here and be cursing out America, cursing out Russia. They should be coming like, is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Then when you get power, you don't want to show anything. You cannot show it. Get it first. If you're meek, Pharaoh will carry you like Joseph, put you as prime minister. There are those who waste their money contesting election. There are other people. Some other person will waste his money, do the campaigning, and carry the man and put them. Meekness is no weakness. It's just power under control. It's just power that is disguised. Your pastor, he come for meeting. Your pastor talk to him. Well, sir, I need to correct something. When you were explaining that scripture, you went off this way. So I just need to let you know, this is the right way. Your problem is, you are not meek. And what you're doing is you're shooting yourself on the leg. Because when you study favor, one of the laws of favor is meekness. Both God and human beings will help you to where you're going. I have found out that if you are meek, even the devil will help you. It's a mystery, but it's true. When you heard that Pharaoh made Joseph prime minister, that Pharaoh was an occult man. When you hear that Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel prime minister, that Nebuchadnezzar was an occult man. When you hear that Ahasuerus made Esther first lady, that man was an occult man. How did the devil help a saint? How did Satan start helping a saint? If you practice only the virtues that work in heaven, that will be good. But that will, your benefits will wait till you get there. For example, blessed are you if men persecute you, if they lie against you, they do other. The Bible says, don't worry. Because your reward will be in heaven. So we're not saying, practice that. Endurance is that virtue. You can endure persecution, endure trials. But the reward will be there. So Martin Luther King Jr. will get his reward where? If Mandela received Christ, anyway, he got some of his reward here. Because finally he got power. I will enjoy you to practice the complete virtues of the kingdom. So you can get, because godliness benefits for all sides. You are in a company. Your boss is thinking about who to promote or who to take after him as he's leaving. Maybe he has a bigger opportunity. He will look at skill, the ability to do the job, but much more he will look at attitude. He will look at somebody that is meek. Become a global Christian. So, become a global Christian. Embrace the Great Commission. It will destroy all known boundaries in your life. But when you embrace it, you start locally, but with an eye for the whole world. That means you have to always be a friend of maps. You have to have maps. If say you're a global Christian, I mention a country, you don't know at least which part of the world it is. You are not, because then too, you don't just pray for what is happening locally. You pray for what is happening globally, for the plan of God for the world. Never. We're looking for bigger ground to play on. And some people are talking about how to compress everything back. I'm saying Africa is not enough, and somebody wants to compress me to my village. As a businessman, if you have a business, you'll be looking for who is bringing you. That's just what works. It's about demand and supply. There's nothing else. So you need to understand the earth. Don't just understand heaven. Because you need to have dominion here. You need to understand human beings. Don't just understand God. After knowing God, know men. After loving God, love people. After winning God's heart, win the heart of people. Become a global Christian. Your father is thinking about the whole world. You need to think like that. And the tools and the resources to reach the world from your doorstep is available now. Now, of course, you should include traveling. If you're going to do whatever, traveling will come in. You know? And there are cheap ways to travel. But with the internet, you can go around the world. There's nothing you cannot access anymore. But the starting point of going global, the starting point of being a global citizen, the starting point of having global influence, is using your mind. the eyes of your spirit and the eyes of your mind to begin to envision a new world, a new life that is bigger than the one you are born into. And when you finish envisioning, you plant yourself locally and test that vision at the local stage. God is telling you to plant a church, do something. Stop talking. Start now. He's talking to you about reaching the youth of Africa. After seeing the whole Africa, start with your campus. Global mission goes with global resources. Stop telling me story what your father cannot afford. Your heavenly father can afford everything. He said, ask me and I will give you nations for your inheritance. The utmost part of the earth for your possession. Then there are courses. Courses. Do you know that just doing education is big deal? Education can take you anywhere, not Africa, everywhere. They are looking for teachers. Counseling. They call it therapy. You do psychology here, masters, nobody cares. Hunger will kill you here. Take it out there. It protects your ministry as a pastor that you have that certification. That you are a certified counselor. It now gives protection to your ministry. Because when anything, government say, oh no, he's a certified whatever, they leave you alone. He knows what he's doing. He respects them like doctors. In choosing courses, you don't just look at Oka or your village or you're busy here is changing verbal abuse with fellow Nigerians. No. The whole world is your parish. Because number one is that there is no mission field on earth that does not open to doctors. There is none that does not open to nurses. There is none that does not open to pharmacists. There is none that does not open to teachers. Oh, let's even talk about lecturing. In the days when I was still in the university, they used to laugh at professors, hungry people. It has changed though. Do something and get a PhD. Doesn't matter which field. Even if it's history. They say, brother, he's from this archive, came to Lagos to see me. You know, he said, I'm thinking about moving over to Lagos. I said, you don't need to move. Just scan the private universities in Nigeria. Because what happens is that they take two. It's the one that take more than two that they call greedy. They take two. They take their principal university. If you watch how this thing is structured, 2 times in a week, 3 times in a week. Not like primary school teacher who has to sit down there teaching English, Mass, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. No. Somebody is just teaching Mass. So what he does is that he gives those 2-3 days and he takes the other one and go and give to another university. So I asked my guy, I did a chief executive program in LBS and I was talking to one of them. I said, is that not illegal? He said, no. It has been accepted within their circle that you can take two. When you overstretch more than two, you start disturbing because you are not able to keep your obligations to your own students. Most of the time, you now come towards the end of the semester. Certainly, they read up for courses they have not done. So, but they take two. And the one pays him 9.8 million. The one that is owned by government pays him 8 million. And he combines that. At least 15 million. And he said to me, that can help me at least do something. The world has changed, Oga. The world has changed. Money is the easiest thing to make. Stop making it look like Abadigo Kabora Sataba. Put your hands on your brain. Say, Lord, all the walls of limitation in my mind, I command it to be broken now. In the
name of Jesus.
Now, because my field is, my assignment is developing kings and priests. That's what God said. So we are the ones that use grammar. When we look for, how do we make this thing not to sound too spiritual, to package it for human beings? We now say, okay, developing leaders that can change their world. You know, because if you read Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, he said he has made us kings and priests unto our God. What is the next thing? And we shall rule on the earth. We shall rule, reign on the earth. So we are looking for leaders that will change their world. Leaders, instead of saying rule their world, so that we don't threaten other people. We say leaders that can change their world. Leaders that can impact their world. Leaders that can transform their world. So that's our assignment. Because this area is my field, so I'm given an anointing to make, not just to talk. Not just to talk it. That's why we're going to release that here and shoot up people's destinies. You know, I'm seeing people who are school leavers doing jobs, 800 million. 1.6 billion. Become a global Christian. Ask of me, and I'll give you nations for your inheritance. So it starts with, on the inside. It starts with dreams and visions. Catch God's global plan. Catch his global vision. One of the things that makes me sad, especially when I talk with pastors, is how somebody can be in a city and the only thing he sees is the four walls of the church. Become a global Christian. Become a global Christian. It looks like we can't say any other thing. Become a global Christian. Revelation 7 verse 9. Let me close. After this I look, behold a great multitude which no one could number from all nations. And tribe and tongue. He's talking about billions of souls. And right now we have 7.2 billion. And they said by 2050 that the population will have hit over 12 billion. And Nigeria will become the third largest country in the world. 2050. This is United Nations. You can go and Google it. The third largest country will have over, you know, surpassed US. US right now, you have China and India. And then India will overtake China as the largest nation on earth. China will be second. Nigeria will be third before others. Nigeria will be about 400 million people. Do you know what it means to have 1 million people following you on social media? What that can do for you? Do you know what it means to reach 1 million people? To grow your ministry capacity to be touching 100 million people? All these so-called big churches that are making noise, or some of the whatever, say mega church, 10,000 members or 5,000 members, 6,000 members, and the man is a big man. I'm just talking about 1 million. What about 1 billion? How far can you dream? Ask of me, and I'll give you nations. How far? Of the 7.2 billion that we have right now, 4.7 billion are still lost. Now, I did a presentation in PowerPoint. Where are these lost souls? Where are they? All these lost souls, 4.7 billion are lost. 2.5 billion have been reached. Out of these 2.5 that have been reached, 1.2 billion are Catholics. Are you hearing what is going on? This so-called 2.5 that have been reached, 1.2 billion are Catholics. So you have about 1.3 that with all the others put together. But out of all this, you have 720 million that are spirit filled. There are 720 million people. Actually, they say it's surpassing that, that it has even hit 800 million already. But the largest arm of the body of Christ, the fastest growing arm, is the Pentecostal Charismatic. It has hit 720 million. So out of every 10 people on earth, one person is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so to reach the rest of the world is for all of us to become responsible to win 10 people each. So what is keeping Jesus from coming? Because of disobedience. The Great Commission is not something you choose or leave. It's a command that you obey or disobey. People are here looking at it from the angle they want to kill us. It's just that in the last day, God talked about shakings, gross darkness. But the reason is so that people in the dark will find where there is light. Yes. Do you know if there is, have you been to, okay, let me leave that. I've been to the part of Canada where sometimes sunlight come out only 3 months in a whole year. Yes. The rest of the year is dark, it's night. There is another part where it's 6 months. 6 months. You know, night comes and you're not going to see light till 6 months' time. And it's not just that. It's so cold, and yet when you get there, you see developed cities. So what is powering life there is 24-hour electricity. Everything is heated. Cars are heated. Houses are heated. Offices are heated. Everything. If your light goes off. Because once I was asking myself, why would a human being come here to live? Now you know that people that live in such a place, I know that here you need light. But you already have sunlight. How do you think people that live in such a place will value light? So when Russia wanted to punish Georgia, their neighboring, because they are the ones supplying them, you know, gas and all the things for powering their houses, they cut off electricity and gas supply to them just about the time winter was starting. You know, that can wipe a whole country. They were forced to come and beg at the negotiating table. You are the one that has the light. The world is waiting for you. And you are here in Oka complaining that you don't have 10,000 naira. You don't. I just managed to survive this semester. You don't have an understanding of what is going on. You have power unto salvation. Power that saves. Power that transforms. And that power is called the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto what? is more important than electric power, is more important than political power, is more important than economic power, is more important than intellectual power, and yet you can convert it to all of these other equivalents. You can have a very successful life anywhere on earth. That's what it means to rule your world. You go to somewhere, it's all whites. You go to somewhere, Indians. You go to somewhere, it's Latinos. You go to somewhere, it's Turkish people. That's what it means to rule your world. When we meet next, we're going to open up the power of God. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit you in a dimension. But first, have a dream. Have a dream. So that that power is coming to help you get something done. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you've been struggling at that low level financially, it's over. This weekend is the last day. The world is your parish. God is not a village God that can't afford to pay school fees. He's not a deity inside your village. He's the God that made the universe. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? God bless you.